We're no hurry, Shannon.
Okay, you're ready.
All right. We'll open this Bingo Advisory Board meeting. Looks like we have a quorum, I assume. Right, since we have eight members, four of us.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? And Don, would you lead us in that?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Why don't we begin with the old minutes? If the old business is in, make sure you everybody's read the minutes, and then as soon as you're ready, we'll have a any modifications or not.
Make a motion to accept the minutes as read.
Second.
I have a motion, first and second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay, minutes are approved. If we can move on with the Secretary of State's office, which I guess it will be Andrew today, regarding what's going on with the finances and all of the things I have listed here.
Sure. I'm going to go ahead and give you just an overview of the finances, and then Rudy's going to just give you some comments regarding the report that we've also provided on complaints.
Okay.
So if you take a look at the financials, at the top there, I'm noticing that in 2005 there were 465 games reporting, 2006, 440, and this year, 2007. With fourth quarter coming in, we have 322 total games reporting. If you take a look again at the totals, gross income from bingo occasions, we're looking at $27 million in 2005, down to $21 million, nearly $22 million in 2007. And then again, at the very bottom of the summary, under the heading of summary, you can take a look at the gross amount wagered on games. In 2005, we were looking at about $154 million, now down to about $123 million. Of course, this isn't a real change. I think we've all seen this kind of trend before. Right. Mm-hmm. But with that, I think I'll hand it over to Rudy to talk about some of the complaints that we've been reviewing.
Before that, this is Chairman Gibson. Does anybody have any questions regarding the financials?
I think it's important to note that the gross profit for the nonprofits is up.
Sure. And that's a good thing.
Can you read that number for us, Dave? What was it? What
it was 28,480, and it's now up to 32,213. So it looks like we might be moving in the right direction.
In regards to the profitability of the groups?
Yeah. Per session profit, yeah.
That's good. I think that's a significant number for the nonprofits as far as some of the problems that they have.
They're up $8.
Okay.
Of course.
That we probably should analyze what that's from, but it's probably from increased revenue and increased prizes and all of those kinds of things. I think. It is that...
Where are you looking
at our place and at the bingo company? That part I know.
Sure. Yeah,
the attendance isn't quite high enough. Just a second.
Oh, five,
Patrick Ryan.
Well, were you speaking about the gross profit line?
I'm trying to figure that out.
Before administrative fees?
Yes. And then you have total amount wagered is up.
$52.50.
My confusion is, are you speaking gross or net?
It says net profit. It says before administrative fees per license.
I see what you're saying. Okay, I was looking at the one above above that.
Yeah.
I think that's a number right there that has stayed fairly steady. If you look at 2005, 2006, we're not talking a huge disparity there.
It's up about $4 million on 2007.
Where are you looking at that? I don't see that.
Right here, where it says net profit bingo occasions before administrative
fees.
Right,
if you look across, total 2007 is $10,000.
No, up above that, $32 million. 32 versus 28. Well, that we see, you know, that's the total. We see the totals, okay. I would take it as a capitalistic thing that's happening, you know.
Does the dollar amount include the groups that are no longer doing it?
It includes everything that happened in 2007.
That would include the groups that aren't there, so that, like John said, it's not.
No. The bottom line.
Is the very bottom line.
Right.
$22 million profit.
Thank
you,
Junius.
Yeah.
Dropping like a rock.
Yep.
It's down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so.
4 to 5%.
And your point is what? Okay. Well, that's what we're going to be. That's what we're going to be talking about, Charlie. Okay. I think. I mean, that's one of the things we do want to deal with and talk about on the agenda.
Yeah, I've always looked at that.
Any other questions, Rudy? I guess then, Mr. Johnson.
Okay. Yeah, I gave you a copy of the complaint log.
Yes, sir.
And it's misnumbered. It's actually for 2008. It says 2007 at the top.
Yeah.
But so far, we're in the third quarter, and we only have four written formal complaints.
Net profit.
Yeah.
Two of those have been resolved, and they weren't about any issues that would have jeopardized the license necessarily. But one group did, on their own, decide they were going to get out of bingo. But that was their choice. And the other two that are still open, the one from Lower Valley Seniors is still pending. We have had verbal contact with the organization. I don't think they've answered in writing yet. So we're still waiting for some written answers on two of the complaints that are still open.
Okay. Thank you, Rudy.
And that's not unusual for the year as far as the number. So,
the number?
Yeah.
So it's pretty consistent.
Right.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Anybody have any questions regarding any of those things? No, you probably didn't see them. Okay, the status of the new bingo legislation is it's up for third reading in the Senate today.
It's third or second?
Third. And it may be done for all we know. I haven't got a call back. I haven't seen Corky. It may be done. Okay, and the way the bingo legislation has finally been done is the things that we talked about 2 months ago, was it? So the Bingo Advisory Board is going to remain. That was in the legislation. The number of games, did they change that by rule or did they just leave it unlimited?
It's going to be set by rule is my understanding.
Okay, that was mine also. And how much we're going to be able to use for cash promotions is going to be set by rule. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Those are the three areas. The other one about the blueprints also is passing.
Section was taken out.
It was taken out.
So that we weren't required to actually turn in the blueprints?
Right.
Yeah.
That's not required.
Right. So that was deleted from the
go back to it.
Yeah. So the status of that, we should hear today on the third reading, and we don't expect any trouble.
There was some additional language that was put in there by Representative Weissman.
Right, he did, yes.
So he's going to require that the Secretary of State work with the Department of Revenue to look at the feasibility of moving bingo and raffle over to the Department of Revenue.
Yeah, during the next whatever time. time frame.
Right, and so as soon as the legislation is actually signed into law, that's something that we'll start working with DOR.
So they're going to dialogue. They can't change it. They have to dialogue first, and then they have to go through the whole process if that happens.
And Andrew, was that orchestrated by House Representative Wiseman?
This is something that Senator Wiseman is just very interested in himself.
Right.
It's not something that he actually conferred with us about.
Yeah,
but I think his thinking is that it makes sense to put all the gaming under the same department. Obviously, DOR has a lot of experience doing different types of for-profit gaming.
And I assume DORA went along with that?
DORA actually was new to DORA as well. DORA's report, the Sunset Report, actually advocated against doing that just because it would take a constitutional amendment to actually move the licensing portion over to DOR. And quite frankly, looking at the situation right now, I think that is going to be the main stumbling block.
Right.
Like everything else is.
Like everything else for a constitutional amendment.
Constitutional amendments make things difficult.
That's right.
But it
costs a lot of money.
Right.
Yeah, it will require a joint report by the Secretary of State as well as the Director of Revenue as far as the feasibility of it.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, right, okay. So that's any questions regarding that? So that should take place today unless they put it over till tomorrow again or whatever it is. And then once that happens, then it has to go to the governor to sign. And if he signs, I guess this is what, July 8th or whatever it goes into effect?
I think we have,
if I recall.
Yeah, it's soon after he signs it. I'm not sure what the effective date right now is in the legislation, but it should take effect nearly immediately.
I mean, it was going to be one of those right-away things.
There was a sunset provision in the bill, and then it was taken out, and then it was put back in. So it should take effect almost immediately after he signs it. Yeah. But I mean, like I said, there haven't been huge changes made to the legislation.
Other than what we talked about when we did the House meeting.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So all of that we think is very good. One of the things though that needs to take place is, therefore, we need to have a rule hearing. A rule hearing is what happens for all of you people have never had been to a rule hearing is the Secretary of State and everybody. Sits up here and they listen to what potential rule changes we would like to have. And we and all the groups and everybody gives their input in regards to potential rules. And then the Secretary of State's office makes a decision on the rules after they have all the inputs, not that day, but after the consultation and all of that stuff. And so I'm wondering if we could get a date set for a rule hearing.
We can certainly sit down and talk about when you guys, first of all, talk about what kind of rule we want to form, and then we can actually set a date for the hearing. Of course, there's a bit of an administrative process that we have to go through to actually set that date and hold the hearing and moving forward from there.
We can ask some of the people here because I see a few groups are here. Some of the rule changes, of course, have to deal with the new legislation.
That's correct.
How many games, how much money we can give away cash-wise, limits-wise, and those type of things. Those rules we have to enact or else you'll be able to do anything you want.
Correct.
Once the law passes, okay? So that rule will have to be made. The other rules also come up that can be changed by rulemaking, and if you're interested in those can be brought up. Those would be things like how many packs can you put in a machine, for example, in electronics? How many, because that's set by rule. How much do you want the payouts to be? That's also set by rule. Various issues like that are set by rule can be changed if there's input from the bingo community that the Secretary of State feels this would be good for the groups and for the public.
That's correct. Certainly the more input we receive, the better.
So what's the process now, Andrew, as far as setting the date?
I would leave that up to you. We can, obviously we're going to want to have an opportunity to give everybody their input.
Yeah.
So if we want to set up an additional meeting, that'd be one thing. If we want to wait until the next advisory board meeting and have people actually come to the podium and give us what their thoughts are, I think it's easier to actually come up with some numbers beforehand in terms of like what we want to set the limits at, how many games we want to conduct per year, and that way we have a starting point. and people can comment one way or the other.
Maybe we could talk about that at this point in time, and then you guys, then we could all kind of make a consensus.
Yeah, I agree.
And then that could be presented to the groups and everybody, and they could agree or disagree or give some other input. Right?
Well, would it be a good suggestion that I'm going to make the assumption that assuming that this bill is passed and is signed by the governor, that's when the rules, for example, of cash and number of sessions goes to whatever
right.
until there is a rules hearing. Is it upon his signing that happens?
So we're going to want to promulgate rules in advance of that.
As fast as possible.
Right. So would it be a good suggestion to have somebody, maybe a central source, to email in any rule suggestions to somebody, maybe to you as the chairman or to the Secretary of State's office?
I think that's a good idea. We want to maybe talk about the some rules now.
Okay.
At the advisory board meeting, as far as get the Secretary of State and the groups thinking in some process, right?
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay, so if we take the rules that are up right away that need to be dealt with right away, we're looking at how many games can a group do in a year, okay? And that's going to be set by rule. One of the things that we talked about in the House meeting, I think, was it would be set by rule, but most of the groups that were there had said they didn't necessarily want to do unlimited games, but they thought 4 or 5 games a week would be a reasonable number. And so if I could get input from the, there's one, two, is he with the game? Somebody, 3, 4, there's at least 4 nonprofits in here. So could we hear an input on that, Bonnie? Is it Bonnie?
I've had knee surgery, so I'm a little slow.
You're faster than me because my back's going.
But to be no less than 150.
Bonnie Nolan, Boys and Girls Club, Weld County. I'd like to address this more on that for the group. 3 sessions a week works fine for us. But like the Denver group that was here last time that is not here, and they're one of the largest school, they had 12 schools. That rule doesn't work for them. They need more sessions. And my feeling is if you're going to do that, have 3 sessions a week per school, not per license or per. They did like 12 schools in their district, and they're holding bingo trying to keep their arts program and their sports program together. And in that kind of a situation, it's my opinion that although they hold one license, it should be per what they're representing.
Thanks. My impression after talking to that was
North Glen
High School, the Band Boosters, etc. Their input, if in the meeting at the House meeting when they were testifying, their input was that 4 to 5 games would be sufficient for them per week. Okay. That was their input, and so most of the groups that I've talked to, that would be way sufficient. But we could ask these other 3 groups. What's your name? You need to stand up and.
I just want to address the board at this time.
Okay.
Mark Rosen, Westside Benevolent Society. I would vote for 5, because there are lots of organizations that could do more than. That keeps the limit on it from just being.
Thank you, Mark.
Tom Bednar, games manager for. I'm perfectly happy with where we are now with 3. Mainly because it's difficult to get on. I can see where other groups. Should have the ability to do more sessions.
Have a number?
Number? No.
Okay. More is okay, you're saying.
More.
Okay. Anybody from, as far, any other comments from the?
My name is Karen Shield, and I work with more than one group up in Greeley. I work with LAAM and Boys and Girls Club, and I'm all for the 5.
Any of the board members, do we have any input that would be different than what we're talking about at this point in time?
The only stipulation I would like to see when we...
Don Casino,
sorry, Rocky Mountain Bingo, is whatever we decide on, whether it be 4 or 5, that we make sure that the rule says that it can be no less than the current 158. Or that whatever we agree on it, that it could never go less than what we currently have.
Rule-wise,
exactly.
Sure.
That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So what I'm hearing so far is we've got kind of a disparity. We're hearing we're talking somewhere between 158 games to 260 games.
I would say that sounds right. Yeah. The 158 or whatever is what it is now.
Right.
Okay. Yes.
Can I address the board now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Adams, and I'm a games manager for
and, we only get to go out
there
first.
There's different trends throughout the year. It looks like, you know, looking at last year's numbers, there's different trends throughout the year for different peak seasons. If a group is doing really well in the summertime, okay, why couldn't they do, you know, more than 5 or 6 games? And if they don't do as well in the wintertime, let's say they're able to work in the winter. I mean,
so the answer to that question is it's an annual thing, not a weekly thing.
No. I mean,
that's what I meant. You could do more in the winter.
Yeah, you could do more in the winter than in the summer if the group wanted to drop off for the summer or something. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
that's already okay.
And you know, 5 or 6 a week would be great.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think to answer Don Casino, to answer that question, what you're saying is you could do 7 a week. It's an annual basis.
Yeah, annual basis. Right. I understand it's an annual basis. What I'm saying is they might want to use up. Let's say you've got guys are going to be off for 3 weeks and they work for the same company. You want to use, you know, 40 sessions in 3 weeks or whatever. I mean, they want to just do it in different blocks. But I think limiting to 150, I think, is...
Yeah, thank you. I think, thank you.
Yeah, John Amon, Quality Bingo Supply. And I come from the commercial side of the industry, although I do have a large involvement with the nonprofits in the Elks organization. I would advise the board and the Secretary of State's office to consider proceeding slowly on increasing the allowable number of sessions. I would go from the current 3 per week to no more than 4 per week. That's a 33 1/3% increase, and run with that for a year. Get some feedback. See who's doing 4 a week, how it's working out for them. One of our problems that I think is reflected in these financials is nonprofit on nonprofit competition. And I know of no Elks lodges that do even 3 bingo sessions a week at this time. So an advancement in the number of available sessions are not going to help increase the bingo proceeds available to the groups that are running 1 and 2 sessions a week. If anything, it's going to cut in to their market, because the groups that are going to be doing 4 sessions a week are your well-managed groups that are very efficient, that do increase this profit per session. So I'm a little bit concerned that we'll end up with 3 or 4 groups in the whole state that are able to generate enough volunteers to take advantage of 4 sessions a week, and they're going to increase that group-on-group competition. So I would counsel people to consider going slowly on increasing the number of sessions per week. If it looks like 4 is good, maybe 5 would be better. In a year, the rule could be changed to increase it.
Thank you, John.
I just need to disagree with my buddy John, because if there's...
I'm
sorry, Mark Rosen. If there's 100 halls, and 100 halls have enough sessions, and they get new groups, you're going to have the same problem. So the halls are trying to fill the slots. The slots are going to be filled either by new groups or the groups that are in existence. And if we can't get new groups into bingo to make bingo a profitable organization, and other groups there can do more sessions, it's the same situation. So
thanks, Mark.
Disagree with you.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one recommendation.
Sure.
One of the things that we have not looked at as far as the numbers, and I'm not sure we're even capable of doing so, is analyzing how many games are actually played per group per year. Let's see how many of those games are actually coming up against the 158 limit. Obviously, if there's a large percentage of those groups are, then that might be something that we do want to like to move upward. But I think that would give us a better idea for how many games are actually going to take advantage of that increased limit.
Yeah. Generally speaking, if I could answer that question, it would be the majority of the groups, the majority, and when I say the majority in this case, I would say probably 65-75% of the groups are not using 158 games. They're probably averaging closer to two games a week rather than three games a week. That's the case in the halls that I'm familiar with, and I think that's probably true in your halls too, isn't it, Dave?
But I do have...
You have a few that need it. Oh,
no. Well, no. When you look at it, you have to make sure that you look at groups that have a men's and an auxiliary that are both running for within the same nonprofit, but each raising money. So there are going to be discrepancies in those.
Yeah. So my point was this. One of the reasons, and John brought this up before, and we've all brought this up before, that groups don't do more games a lot of times is they have a serious volunteer problem, number one. Number two, the reason that many groups have quit is because they have a serious volunteer problem. And so therefore, in order to keep the same levels of games being played, that would be the one way that that could help keep that going. My impression is from a hall is when I've seen other halls going out of business, usually it's because they don't have a full schedule of bingo. They keep losing a group or losing a group or losing a group, and therefore they don't have 5 days a week, 5 nights a week or 7 nights a week or whatever it is, and because of that, they begin to lose their bingo players who like to be consistent and have a favorite place to go. So I'm not saying that's the exact answer, but I'm saying that it's difficulty with volunteers, but there are some groups who have North Glen High School, other groups like that have sufficient volunteers to be able to do more games in order to overcome their problem financially and overcome filling up the nights of the halls groups.
So those groups that do have auxiliaries and whatnot, Dave, how many games do you think that they're looking to have? Have you talked with them at all about that?
I can look into that.
I think that would be interesting to hear how many games they would like to have per week, or just like what they'd like to see the cap to be put at.
Because the reason that I think that the reason they're running like that with the two, if the two are running, and I don't know if there's any way to tell.
Right.
When you go through, they need the money at their post.
Right.
So we have to remember those as well. I think a majority of the high schools are probably running more sessions a week. So it's just that, the larger the pool of volunteers, the more sessions they'll take.
Certainly. So it would be interesting to hear from them, though, how many games they think they can feasibly do in a week, given their volunteer numbers.
Okay, the ones that I've spoken to at my hall alone,
right,
and I will go ahead and call some others at other halls, four is definitely a sufficient number to start with.
Okay.
But they didn't give a max.
Patrick
and
Ryan.
I will call around and I will call you.
Great, I appreciate that.
One thing I'd like to mention, the circumstance, not an American Legion or a VFW. So you're looking at 306 games a year. If the American Legion chapter has a license and the auxiliary has a license, you can share that. And it's been my experience, really long time experience, hard pressed to find any VFW. Can man three games?
Yeah.
As Bishop Mann pointed out, it's the volunteer thing is really.
And I would agree with that. And the point is that just because they don't want to do four or five games, you know, that's okay. But there are some that do want to do four or five games, and that should be okay too, I think, is the issue that was brought up by lots of the groups. And so the majority, though, don't even want to do three. They want to do two, or they want to do one, and then others three. Others may now want to do four, maybe five.
By looking at the numbers, it looks like the majority don't want to do any.
You know, another factor.
There are a few of us idiots out there that do.
Another factor for thought here is here we are looking at fewer and fewer games being played and less profit coming in. Playing more games, it seems like profit into smaller pieces of the pie. And in addition to that, we've got, I know of two halls right now who are on the verge of closing their doors. As soon as they do, what's going to happen is the spillover from those halls is going to go out and benefit the remaining halls. That alone is concrete improvement probably for those people who are in those halls with the schedule, as you mentioned.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
I think we're putting the cart before the horse. Bingo players are going to play bingo. I don't care if they're playing at a senior citizen center. They're going to play bingo. But they want to play bingo having fun. By the way, I'm Karen Shield from Greeley. I know you want to know that. I think that we need to work with the regulations, and we need to loosen the restraints some on the type of games and the things that we can do to create a fun atmosphere to where people want to come back and play bingo and not sit at home on their computers doing games. They want to come back into the halls and they want to have fun. I think we're missing that, and that's where the people are going. If we're losing the people, that's why they're not playing the games. If they're not playing the games and they're not having fun and they're not in the halls, then we don't need the extra sessions because there's nobody there to support them.
That's good. And thank you. So that would be another. Okay. That I think we've beaten how many games to death for a minute, right, before we have the next rule hearing. But I would like to get back to what she said after we cover the next issue, if we could. I think it's part of what we have on our list. The next one would be the money situation. The money situation being how much money can we give out cash-wise for promotion. What we have to remember is right now the individual charities can give away $1,000 per promotion, okay, in merchandise. And the hall owners can give away up to $10,000 in merchandise per promotion. The law is saying now we should be able to give away cash, and it stated how much cash can we give away by rule. We still have the right to give away the promotion merchandise for those amounts. Now, what would be the cash limit that would be acceptable to hall owners and to charities if they were going to give away cash as a promotion? That's the question, I think, from a rule point of view that we're asking, isn't it, Andrew?
Yes.
Mark Rosen.
One clarification, just because I'm a little confused. The question is, the $1,000 promotional merchandise, we want to know if we can give any of that away in cash? Is that the question?
That is correct.
Okay. Is there any discussion among the board of any change in the dollar amount of payouts per session?
Well, we haven't got to there yet. There, you mean the raising it from 2,000 up? No, that's a whole different rule.
Okay, so if we have, is that something that you guys are going to discuss?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, my personal opinion is I'd like to see that come back, and I was one of the strong proponents for the raising it to 2,000. My suggestion would be lower that back so everybody plays fair and raise the amount of cash to be given out. That's what I would vote for.
Anybody else in regards to how much money cash-wise we want to give away? Okay, my input. I don't mean the payouts. Now I'm talking about promotions. Okay. So you don't want to use money. They don't want to use money. My input would be, from a hall point of view, people that play bingo like cash. Okay, they like cash, and so if you're giving away a promotion, if you're giving away a TV, or if you're giving away a car, or if you're giving away whatever it is, and instead of that you made it cash, people a lot of times get more excited about that. So my input as a hall owner would, because I can give away 10,000 in merchandise, would say I'm okay, because we talked about that, I think, early on, Rudy, that setting a limit of cash of 5,000 for the hall owners just on cash, but keeping the merchandise promotion 10 would be okay with me. Now, the groups, we'd have to hear from Dave and what he has to say also.
I think that it's the hall's responsibility as a hall owner to go ahead and make sure that they can do. You have a ton of people here, and going back to the report, the profit before administration fees is up. That means that the piece of the pie that everybody else is taking is up. So I think that as a responsibility to keep the industry going, it is our responsibility to make sure that we give back to these groups as much as possible. So I think that to go ahead and limit the hall from supporting their groups is silly. And I think that if you're going to stay at a $10,000 number, that is not something that a hall can do on a weekly basis, monthly basis. It's probably once a year, God bless you. But I do think that any type of push that they can give to their nonprofits is key. So I'm in favor of it. I know that the nonprofits at my hall are in favor of it.
Do you have any input regarding giving away cash for the charities? We have input here that they didn't want to give away cash.
Tom Bednarik again. I would be in favor of giving away cash for promotion, and as far as the number is concerned, I think $500 would be more than adequate per promotion.
Okay.
And is there a cap on that annually? Is there an annual cap on that?
No.
Okay.
The rule allows you to give away $1,000 per promotion. Okay. Okay.
Chairman.
Yes, Austin.
Why do you have to give a promotion? In other words, why do you have to bribe the players to come to your hall? We don't have promotions. We don't bribe our players. They come freely on their own. And we have a weekly game, one game a week. And the last Saturday, we had 161 players, no promotion, no big progressive. Why is it that we have no problems drawing people into our game, and everybody else seems to be having problems? Why?
Probably because you're a Saturday.
Well, there are other games out there on Saturday, too.
Mm-hmm. There's no question. But, I mean, if you look at the days of the week, depending on what day you're running, definitely impacts the amount of players you have.
Yeah.
So if you look at a Monday night versus a Saturday night, there's no comparison, I don't think, across the board.
Yeah, but other halls... Not other halls. Halls run Saturday night games too.
And they seem.
So is your question, why are the players coming out on Saturday night?
To me, and not to you.
That isn't necessarily true. Yeah.
That's an assumption on your part.
Well, we got 161 players on a regular Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
I know halls don't put out 161 players.
Can I say something without getting up?
There's no question.
If you tell me your name.
Honey Nolan, Boys and Girls Club, Weld County.
Greeley is a relatively small city with three bingo halls.
Yeah.
We have a Moose, we have Bingo Planet, and we have Lucky Queens. There's a lot of competition, and we do promotions, like for our birthday. When we were a year old, we had a promotion at Christmas time, and it works good, but we don't kill the promotions, and our players appreciate it because we don't overdo it. But there's a lot of competition in Greeley for the same dollar, and most of those sessions are running concurrently together. So it's a cutthroat thing, and we've got 130,000 people, I think,
right,
in the last census. So it does make a difference in our area.
What, the chairman Gintzig, let me say something about promotions. One of the things that I can't remember, she has already told us her name three times, and I don't remember. Karen told us is bingo needs to be a place where the player comes and has fun. Okay, and we've been to the bingo trade show many, many times. And one of the things that we've learned there over and over again is because we've gone to how the Indians do bingo and all of the other states do bingo, Oregon, and when they were hurting and everybody was going broke, and Washington, and then Canada. And what's happened is they've made it a fun place to come to. And they're able to give away as hall owners, not as giving away prizes. They're able to give away money. For example, one of the fun things that the people in Oregon did is they took $200 or $300, the hall owners did, and they put a dollar or $5 underneath, you know, like 20 chairs or 50 chairs. Nobody knew it. And then at a certain time in the game, they said, all right, everybody get up, look under your chair and see if there's some money there for you. And everybody got excited about that. Or they were doing, let's make a deal, and they were giving away prizes and drawings, and let's make a deal, whether it was TVs or whether it was the booby prize was a picture of Dave Essie's. Or something along those lines. The point is, it's got to be a fun place to go. It's not just giving away promotions, but using what you can do to make it a fun place to come to, because people get excited about that. They no longer want to come there and just hear numbers called. They want to come there because this is a place where they come to. It's like a subculture, you know, all their friends are there and they're doing all these great things. And with the promotions that the hall does, and this does not go back to the groups. This is, the hall owners pay for all of these themselves. And then if the groups want to do their own promotion, then they spend the money however they want. One of the other promotions we did was the Funky Chicken. What is the Funky Chicken? The Funky Chicken is, and this is when we were allowed to give away higher prizes. The Funky Chicken is the group, the particular game that you do the Funky Chicken is, the person who's on, that is, there's one more number to call before there's bingo, whoever has one number to go has to stand up and flap their arms and cluck. Okay, and if there's five of them or ten of them or whatever it is, and then the first person who gets bingo wins an extra $100 or an extra promotion of some sort or another. And they all laugh and giggle and get excited about that. The bingo halls have to become a fun place to go to. And for us to be able to give away promotions and money to accomplish that, is what you were saying earlier. That's why the promotion money and why the promotions are good. It's not as much of stealing the people away from the other hall. It's drawing more people in and other people in and new people in because this is a fun place to go. I'm done preaching now. Sorry.
with all Don Kazan with Rocky Mountain Bingo, with all due respect to Austin's query about promotions, I mean, in a matter of days, we're going to have a law that says we can give away cash. And I think the original question is we have to set a number. So,
right.
My suggestion would be to keep it for simplicity. If we're giving away $1,000 for merchandise or services and $10,000, just keep it the same in cash equivalent.
Is that per year?
No.
On a per promotion. Okay. So, for, Yeah, so, just for simplicity, so it doesn't confuse the issue, we could currently give away merchandise or services, just make it a cash equivalent to be the same thing. Yeah. In the rule.
I would rather carry a TV. I mean, I would rather carry a check than a TV in my bingo hall.
Right. That's correct. And let me say this. Promotions, generally speaking, don't get big. Only every now and then does a hall give away some big promotion. Generally, it's $100 per thing here or a $200 thing here or a trip to Las Vegas gets to be a high one. You know, that's like a $500 expense at least. And so those are usually what we're talking about when promotions happen. There's a group there. He can answer that question.
Yeah, we benefited from it. Our group did. More due to timing and luck.
Yeah, so we learned a lot how to do it next time, Patrick. We started out too low, and how you know, so it wasn't easy to give it away to begin with. But the closer we got to where people could really win it, the numbers began to increase significantly. So instead of having, let's say, 120 people, we'd have 150 to 160 people, something like that. And so the numbers at our halls increased for the groups, you know, like you said, 30%. So instead of having an average of 30. Yeah, that's a significant number.
Very significant number.
And especially if it's every time for 2 weeks, you know, or 3 weeks. And so that it helped. It helped them. And so it was good. But generally, people come because they want to have fun, just as Karen said. They want to have fun. And if you can do something to draw them in because you're having fun, that's why they come. I don't know. Did that help?
It does help.
Okay. Then let's move on to a couple more rules that are potentials, Andrew, for this hearing. I would like one of the rules discussed to be, can we add more packs to a machine? Instead of 36 faces, can we go up in faces from 6 packs, let's say, to 9 packs, something like that. Faces wise, and that would be something that all the groups in our hall were doing before, when the rule originally changed last whenever it was, and we were doing that, and then we stopped that because of the rule change. They were doing better selling higher numbers of packs in the machines when it was 9 packs. That would be one thing I'd like to talk about rule hearing wise, to hear the input from all the groups. The ones who are just doing paper are going to say, I don't know what they're going to say, but probably wouldn't be good. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The next thing, because they're doing fine with just selling paper, the next issue, rule-wise, would be payouts. Do we want to raise or lower how much the payouts are?
Raise.
I know, but that would be the point of a rule discussion. One of the things, our experience has been since we raised the payouts, the profitability of the groups has increased significantly. The prices, of course, have increased. And I think that I see some halls that are going out of business because what they did is they started lowering their prices to draw people in. They started lowering their prices, and they either lowered their payouts or they paid out the same amount of money, and therefore their profitability began to suck. And people come to our hall and they say, they're only paying this out, and they're only paying this out, and this, and this, and this, and we don't like that, and we aren't going there anymore. And so my impression from the players is they like the higher payouts, and they're willing to pay the price tag on the machines. Once they cried in the first, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, when the prices went up, but we haven't had any complaints since then, except if they come from a hall that's had their prices lowered and they want to know why we're not at that price. Okay, that's the only thing that's happened. That's my experience, anyway. Yes.
Bunny Nolan, Boys and Girls Club. We do a paper-only session. We were doing great with $2,500 on paper only.
Uh-huh.
Had no problem.
Thank you, Bunny. Anyone else have an input on I know Mark Rosen wants it lowered, but this is one of the real discussions I think we can have, Andrew, is
sure.
Payouts.
Karen Shield, Boys and Girls Club, Lions Club. Bunny and I play all over the state. We play 365 days a year. If we're not working bingo, we're playing bingo. When we go to a place that has machines, we max out a machine. Because that's the competition, that's what you do. If we play paper, we cover a table between both of us. So if that's what the game is, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a serious player, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
It increases your odds of winning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
since you're big bingo players, if one hall was giving away 2,000 and another hall was giving away 1,500, where would you go?
No matter, so it doesn't, in your opinion, it doesn't matter the quality of the group?
Oh, yes, it does matter. Oh, yes, it does. There are some groups out there that act like all they want is your money and to get the hell out of there as fast as possible.
Right.
Yes.
And these are the groups that are going down, too.
Yeah, 10 games. You walk in, you buy your packets, 10 games, you're out of there. An hour later, another group is in. We're out.
Yeah.
We will not play that group again.
Right.
Or
there are groups that close the pickle bar 2 minutes after the games are over.
Right.
You can hardly get your playbacks. We like to play serious bingo too.
Right.
I mean, we play serious bingo, but we play pool tabs too.
And that's why they're not making any money.
Right.
And they can't understand why they're going down.
Right.
If you don't treat people like you want them to be there, they won't be there, and neither will your group.
Absolutely.
And correct.
I have no complaints to the ones that are going down. They're going down for a reason, and it's not bingo. Because bingo players are out there, and they are playing.
Okay.
We have major competition between the two halls.
Three halls, yeah.
Well, yeah, actually three halls.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all seem to be doing okay.
Yeah, the groups are doing okay. Okay, so that's a... I don't know where we are, but that's one of the rules.
So I think it would be nice to just hear some numbers from the board of what you guys would consider to be the maximum payout in cash.
I gave my suggestion of the 1,000, 10,000 equivalent.
The cash?
Right.
I'm good with that, but I'm willing to settle for half of that on the hall owners. On the charities, I don't have an input, so... I do have an input.
I'd like to see it raised back to $2,500.
Oh, we're two different things.
Oh.
I think it was mentioned to keep it at the 1,000, either cash promotion or merchandise promotion, either one.
That would be okay with you. Okay.
Either or.
Okay.
That's a consensus
as well.
So that's a consensus, I think so. Okay. And then the payout, she's talking about payouts now. How much do we want to raise them or lower them? And
I was actually talking about payouts as well.
Okay.
So I would be interested in hearing.
You're hearing what the board has to say about that? Okay. My opinion is, from a hall owner point of view, the 2,000 is doing very well. Okay. When we first started, we thought that 2,500 would be great, and it might have, and we were thinking, okay, are we going to have to do multiple level packs, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. But we ended up not doing that, and right now, the groups at our hall, and Tom's one of them, are doing quite well. Our attendance is good, and we charge enough for the packs to make a profit, okay? So the average spend probably at the turn of the century or the bingo company is somewhere, and I don't mean pickles now, I just mean bingo, is somewhere between $35 and $45 per head, okay? And so that tells you what your door will end up being for that payout, you know.
We did 2,500 and did real well. And we're $6 and $9 packs, paper only. And we still did well.
Six and nine, how do you mean six and nine? You had levels?
$6, $9 packs.
Yeah, paper.
Is it nine? They use
nine
a nine-on.
$9.
Oh, they use
nine-on.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see. Nine-on be interesting, yeah. Yeah. I didn't know. Okay. All right. So I think we have, so far we have three answers. We have 2,500. I'm happy with two. And Mark Rosen, I don't know why he wants to go down. He's nuts. But other than that.
Well, I'd be interested from hearing from Mark as to why he wants to go down.
Okay. The reason I'd like to go down, if you take $500 times 158 sessions, it's $80,000. It's actually $79,000. The difference, and I was, like I said, I was one of the strongest proponents for the change last year. I testified in favor of it. Our numbers are down with people, and they were down when we were giving away $2,000. The purpose of the raising of the $2,000 was to get more people into the bingo hall. This sheet confirms that we didn't get any more people into the bingo hall. We got less people in the bingo hall. We have the same amount of players that will play at $2,000 if they're bingo players, or they'll play at $1,500 if across the board it was $1,500. Or they would play at $2,500 if it was across the board at $2,500. But what we've created is the monster that I voted for, which is some halls give, and I train for bingo docs across the state of Colorado. So we have there's halls that post on their wall, this session is 2,000, this session is 1,800, this session is 1,600, this session is 1,500. Different halls pay, at the same halls, they play different amounts. Some of the groups are doing good, some of the groups are doing bad. Again, if it's a Monday night or a Saturday afternoon, our Saturday afternoons are fine, but our Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays suck. So the difference of that $500 is the difference between making $200 a session or losing $200 a session. The reason, in my opinion, is we've lost 20, 30 groups since January is because we're all losing money. None of us are here to make money. I mean, none of us are here to lose money. We're all here to make money. These groups are dropping like flies because we didn't attract one more person. And these numbers prove it. I don't have to testify to it. Well, we did not draw. So if, in fact, we all went back to $1,500, we would not lose one bingo player. They're a bingo player, they're a bingo player. All these organizations would then play on the same square playing field that we all played on, and we'd all make more money. It wouldn't hurt the groups that are doing better. It'll help the groups that are doing better because they're going to make $500 a session more, and the groups that aren't making it have a chance to make it. That's my opinion.
Thank you, Mark.
I disagree.
Thank you.
I think we will lose them to the hill. They'd rather go up and gamble on the slots.
Also, the amount we can charge for packs, you know, this is capitalism. So it's like saying, okay, you have to charge this amount for packs, and you can't charge less, and you can't charge more. You know, that's not something fair. And for us to, you don't have to give away 2,000. You can give away 1,500. You don't have to give away, if it goes up to 2,500, you don't have to do that. That's why you see different people doing different things. I can tell you that every single group in the two halls that I'm responsible for are making lots of money. They're averaging somewhere around $700 to $1,000 a session net profit. Okay.
And they're giving away the full promotion price?
Yeah, they're all no. Well, the one in Arvada, the bingo company, it's similar to what Mark said. Some of them are charging less and giving away $1,700 or $1,500, but most of them are giving away $2,000. And there's different prices then for what it is that they're giving away. But they're all making that kind of profit. And they're happier than you can imagine because they are making that kind of profit, you know.
How many groups is that?
There's 9 groups in Aurora, and there's 11 in Arvada.
Okay, so
yeah. Yep.
Okay, so what about dropped out?
We didn't have any drop out. And the reason they weren't is they weren't running a good game, or they were at a hall that wasn't doing things to make it fun for people to come to. The games weren't being run well, or it was a place that the players didn't want to go to. Because those players went somewhere.
Okay.
because of what they were trying to accomplish.
I mean, we play really too, don't get me wrong.
Okay. But so I mean, that's one of the thing hearing things. not as bingo players. Not as bingo player. Am I still on? John Amon.
This is John from Quality Bingo Supply. I think one thing we need to keep in mind is that we have isolated pockets of strength in bingo. Austin's game, Bishop's Halls, Dave's Hall, certain spots are doing well. But you look at the numbers that we were handed out earlier, and from 2005, the net profit available to the nonprofits was $22 million. And last year, with a full year of the $2,000 payout under our belt, during that year, we were $5 million less total profit. So it hasn't been the stimulus that it was hoped to be. It hasn't increased the profits available to the nonprofit. It hasn't enabled my customers to be able to pay their bills more easily, so we need to proceed again with caution in changing that $2,000. I don't want to kick it up to $2,500 and have another $4 or $5 million less money in the industry.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it, John.
Don't forget our economy's really bad right now.
Well, that's exactly right. We had a lot of discussion on the rate on the payouts. It was originally going to $2,500. It was compromised to $2,000. And remember, it was up to $2,000. There's lots of ways groups get $1,500. You could go. I'm a big proponent of and maybe I'm segued into the new game potential thing on the
yes,
agenda.
We'll wait till we get there. Yeah.
But I like the $2,000 and knowing that you could give away consolation prizes through progressive games. I mean, I think the economy has more to do with anything. If we didn't have progressive bingo in the state, we might not even have bingo at all. And I think the $2,000 limit is a good limit. I think people will chase it. That doesn't mean that less people are playing bingo because of it. I think it's got a lot to do with the economy right now.
Technically, we're doing two sessions back to back. We're doing an early bird session and a main session, and we're still giving $2,500 away, but legally, because we're doing two sessions. We give $1,000 in our early bird.
Okay.
And $1,500 in our main.
I understand. Yeah.
But we're still working on the $2,500 base in one night.
David,
through progressive.
More packs, though. I mean, you know.
No.
Two double actions.
You're selling packs for both games.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to, does anyone else have any other rule that we want to deal with?
I just have one more. This is kind of a complaint with the way the bingo's handled and the way we try to run bingo. I feel that our hands are tied like this when we're trying to make it fun. You can't have this kind of game because it's a rule. For instance, like pick eights. You can't do a pick eight because it's against the rules. You can't do this because it's against the rules. You can't do a treasure chest. It's against the rules.
Oh, yeah, we were going to talk
about
that.
You can't do this.
Yeah.
It's against the rules.
You do know
and
what
all
a
the stuff,
is, right?
All the stuff that you want to do to have fun, you're always coming up with it's against the rules.
So I think that's the next subject we're going to talk about in our agenda is how we can potentially improve some.
We'd love to do pick eight and a treasure chest.
So any other things regarding I think we've beaten up the
Mr. Chairman, I haven't heard anything about the progressive, though. What is the board's feeling regarding the progressive amount?
The amount that we have now?
Mm-hmm.
Our experience at our hall is that $15,000 has been sufficient. We don't hardly, we get close to it, and then we give it away, but it hasn't lowered our progressive attendance. There weren't too many halls that were giving away more than that anyway. There were a few because of how they did their progressive payout, you know, the way they sold progressives. But the $15,000 has not been an issue. But I think that's a statute, isn't it?
No.
Is it by rule?
By rule.
Oh, good.
Progressive's great.
Huh?
Progressive's great. Both ways. As a bingo runner and as a bingo player.
Okay.
Except the part where they don't have to put the money in until the next session, you're getting a whole bunch of Mad Bingo players.
Well, that's the
You could do it either way.
No, that's the groups. But that's the group that's because the group's running a bad game is why they're doing that. But that's what you talked about before. People are going to go to a group that's doing it correctly. If they're going to get close to giving away that amount of money, they need to start advertising for it and make sure they don't get to the 15,000 before the last game.
It doesn't matter if I go to a bingo hall and I buy 35 cards to play in a progressive game. I want my $35 to be put into that game that I'm playing now. I don't want it to go to the next session.
Oh, because they can't get because they can't give away more than 15,000?
No, they're carrying it over.
They're carrying it over to the next week or the next session.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What?
There are groups that are. Well, there are two options in the rule, and what it says is
I don't know about it.
The bingo raffle licensee can either pay out. Put the percentage in that occasion or the next occasion.
They're carrying it over.
Okay.
So they get to 14,999 and they get to carry that money plus the next money
over.
Which means they get like $2,000 they get to
extra,
carry
yeah.
People are fuming.
Well, I mean they can
but if they're doing it the same exact way the whole time, you shouldn't really be noticing that that's taking place, if that makes sense.
People are noticing.
Sure they are.
Believe me, they are noticing.
Well, because everybody's doing it differently.
Well, if I may, sure. I work in the field a lot, okay? And every single group that I deal with, I try to convince them to absolutely do the new way. 50, 40, 10, and you add it the following week. Now, I do hear some players complain, and what I've told them up front, and they go, oh, gee whiz, they're taking our money. Well, no, they're not taking your money. The idea of the groups doing the progressive, and you actually should consider doing it yourself, because if you do the numbers, you'll see where you're going to make a lot more money than you will if you're doing it the old way. Because what happens if you're doing it the new way on the very last night that you give the money away, you get 90% of the receipts into your bank account for your nonprofit.
I don't want the money in my bank account.
Well,
and
the way the rules are, you can continue to do that. But these other groups that are doing it the other way are finding that they're making enough money that they can survive and stay in business. And that's the reason they're doing it. You have the choice of doing a 50-40-10, and here's what you have to consider. If you're doing a 50-40-10, the players are still getting 60% of your receipts. They're getting 50% in the existing pot. That other 10% is not your money. It goes to them in the following game. And sometimes you need to explain to the players that way. And quite frankly, the nonprofits are here to make money. And yes, you have to make your customers happy, but you have to be assertive and set down your policy and say, look, our idea is to make a good profit. If we can't do that, not only won't we be here, but you won't have a game to go play at. And so basically that's my
I don't disagree with that, Patrick. So what we're really saying is we have some rules and this is how it is. Then it's up to the group to do what they need to do. Either they do it or they don't do it, however they do it. Yeah.
Patrick, can I ask you while you're standing there? On that point, I would have to agree with you as well. My question is, because for a little clarification from whoever, how if you decide as a group to make your must go at $3,000,
yes,
yeah,
okay,
$9,999, right. Whatever it is,
right?
At that point, are you allowed to keep that same 90%?
Absolutely.
No.
Yeah. Well, I think so. Let me say and then tell me if I'm wrong. Okay. So and I'll tell you. I have a couple groups in Colorado Springs. One incredibly successful group, and they capped their progressive at $6,000. And here's the games manager's reasoning. He says we do not want a lot of people from outside areas coming in. We want our regulars to win it, so we don't want it to get real high. So we cap it at $6,000, and on top of that, if you cap it at $6,000, what is the 15,000 is two and a half progressives you're giving away to your customers. Well, as a customer, yeah, I'd like to win 15, but darn, if I win six and then another 2 months later you got another six up, that's good for business. Do you see what I'm saying?
All of that's true. What I'm talking about is what he's saying is, can you, if you get the $6,000 and then and you're at $6,000 and you're still selling progressive that day, does that money still has to go into that $6,000 because 15,000 is the number of the rule?
Well, let me.
And if we don't do that, I would never go to that hall. That's like cheating.
If you post your sign and say that when we reach 6,000, we're going to give away 6,000. Okay, so let's say we're at 5,000 tonight, and we sell $2,000 worth of faces. Well, we put 1,000 into the pot. We keep 800, we keep 400, and 100 goes into the secondary. And we tell our customers, okay, folks, next week we're at $6,000, and we're having a must go. So everybody shows up and they spend $2,000.
Like what you're saying. What I'm saying is that's against the rules.
No, it's not.
You better read it because it is.
If you're saying that you're giving away the $6,000,
doesn't matter. It doesn't say in the rules that you can do that. Only when you get to 15,000 is that the rule.
You can have a must go whenever you choose.
Correct. My question is keeping the 90%.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Well, I would think that if you give away, if you have the 6,000 and you're giving away the 6,000, then the receipt you take in, 10% goes to the pot.
I understand. So who are you guys?
Yeah.
The compliance guys. To if you guys could look at the rule and give us feedback on that, that would. I'm in total disagreement with that. I think that's against the rules. I think to keep that money. When the rule says 15,000, I think is outlandish, okay? But I may be wrong.
Well, when you say 15,000, you don't have to go to 15,000.
You don't, but you don't get to keep the money just because you haven't gotten there.
But if your players know when you start your progressive where it's going to go, everybody's informed.
Yeah, I think we need to read that rule and interpret it properly. And I may be wrong.
Yeah, I don't understand what you're saying.
So you agree, your office stance is that as long you did not, whatever you post is your must-go dollar.
That's what
amount.
You're talking about.
An issue with that? We've never had an issue with that. That's been our interpretation. Yeah.
That's right.
And you have to realize this flexibility was built into the rules because the groups wanted it.
If that's what they want to do, that's going to be chaos.
Our idea was a set, strict rule on progressives and when you gave it away and everything. But the groups wanted the flexibility, and they should.
Okay, I'm going to have to read it. But I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just like in wonder of that whole thing. But that's okay. I'll get over it. Okay, great.
Bingo player's an enemy in your progressive.
Is the stupidest thing you can do, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on a little bit. What we need to talk about is some of the things we're talking about. So if that's where we are, and some other rules that may come up are what we're going to talk about now. And this is how can we improve things that we do in bingo using games, right? Or things, because if we have different money, we can do promotions-wise. For example, Karen and Bunny brought up the thing about the 24 numbers, right? The pick eight. And I talked to some of the electronic suppliers, and they have a random number generator specifically for the 24 numbers that allows you to do whatever you want to do in that regard on how you're going to. And this is an extra kind of fun. And they were supposed to be here to kind of show us how that looked. And I also asked Don if he would show us some paper games that are potential things that would improve the profitability of the groups and stuff. And so since the electronic guys aren't here, let's talk about paper first. But what we're talking, Rudy, what they're talking about is that instead of, if you had a special game that you could do just for fun and some money, right? This could be a promotional game now, though, if you use money instead of higher payout, okay?
Right now we have our double action cards that we sell for an extra game. A pick eight, you could sell the same thing. You sell them at $1.
Like it's almost like a pari mutuel you could do with selling the extra packs. And what it is like instead of having 75 numbers, it's only 24 numbers, right?
No, it's only eight numbers.
No, they're talking U pickups. They're talking about U pickups.
Yeah, but
it's usually an X pattern.
Yeah.
More than likely. And you fill in the numbers.
Yeah.
And whoever gets the eight numbers first on that pattern wins. And you've picked your own numbers.
That you're talking about a U-Pick'em game.
Yeah.
Very, very popular game in other states. The reason we can't do it in Colorado is because of the definition of a bingo card. It says that's a B-I-N-G-O and has to have 20 numbers. That's what I meant. It has to have 24 numbers on the card, which makes that game technically illegal in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's something that I'm
Well, can we
sure
see if that's
covered in definition by the rules? That could be something to be brought up at the rules hearing.
Right.
Along with the treasure chest, because technically a treasure chest would be a raffle.
Uh-huh. So that's one thing we could talk about at the rule hearing, how we could change some ways we do games, if it's possible. I don't know if it's possible by rule, you know. Don? Do you have some things you wanted to discuss?
I could discuss new game ideas for about 3 days, but we don't
have time. Give us 5 minutes.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I think that the groups aren't taking advantage of in the rules is when we had many, many discussions about changing the prize board, $2,500, it was compromised at $2,000. And one of the big things that we're going to do is if you're already giving away $1,500, use that extra $500 to possibly make it as consolation prizes through adding your progressives. And in the rules, it's very specific that the charities can run up to 3 progressive games. And I don't think enough of the charities are taking advantage of the fact that you can run 3 progressive games, which are, in most cases, in all cases, those games are funded by the players. And I'll just give you some examples. I mean, all the manufacturers make what we call odds games. There's lots of different games of paper out there that there's odds game. For example, Lucky Star Bingo. You bingo on the star, it pays. That's how you win the progressive. Triangle Bingo. You win on the big triangle or the small bingo. There's tons of those ideas. And I'd like to suggest that groups do an early bird progressive, do a regular session progressive, and then maybe a late night progressive. And the biggest progressive game that's out there that we tried it well and is still in the number one specialty game is Bonanza Bingo. And I'd like to see more groups go back to Bonanza Bingo. I think it's a tremendous moneymaker. But to take advantage of the progressives is what kept bingo alive in this state. And to have the advantage of being able to do up to 3, you don't have to do 3, but do 2. And I think you really, and the reason you do 2 or 3 is if your progressive goes, we all heard about jackpot chasing, and as soon as your jackpot gets hit, your crowds go down, you got to build them back up. If you've got 3 progressives running simultaneously, you're always going to have major interest in your bingo hall.
That's why we don't have any trouble, because
right.
We have 2 of each.
Bringing this up, then one of the things on the payouts, then that I would like to maybe by rule is that if the payouts were increased by some even small amount, that whatever the consolation is that you give away on your progressive, limited at some number, wouldn't count against your payouts. And the only way to do that, I guess, would be to raise how much the payouts are by some amount. But that's my suggestion, is that would help also.
I think that was one of the reasons we went from 1,500 to 2,000. So the groups that wanted to stay at 1,500, if they ran multiple progressives, they could keep their consolation prices coming from the $2,000. Didn't really affect the
That's right, too, yeah. That's right, too. All of those ways are something we can certainly talk about. Okay, anybody else have any rules that they would like the Secretary of State consider for the rule hearing that we will have set up?
No, the amount of money we give away.
Okay.
I don't think the amount of money should go up.
Bishop, are we done with new game? I mean, we're not going
to
get it.
No, we don't have any demos here. Yeah.
One thing I'd like to suggest to you folks in the nonprofit industry, we have a website out there. If you want to write this down, it's arrowgames.com. It's on our master page. If you go to the bottom left-hand corner of the page, there's a click-on link that's called Bingo News Flash Ontario Playbook. Take a look at that. There's 81 pages of game ideas. Arrowgames.com is the website. Just access by arrowgames.com. On the bottom left-hand portion of the page, click on the Bingo News Flash Ontario Playbook. It was written for the province of Ontario. In concert with our company and the Ontario Lottery Commission, it's 81 pages of game ideas. There's terrific reading in there. For like you guys say, you want fun ideas, I'll guarantee you'll find you'll find 25, 50 ideas that will conform to the Colorado law in that bid.
Also, if you know anybody that went to the bingo show last week, I think it was last week, there's always a session on the 25 of the best promotions that all the different people have put in. And somebody can give you a copy of that, and those are really good, that we've used a lot of those. All right, I'm moving on to the next thing. If we could maybe have some sort of ad hoc meeting with the Secretary of State's office, that is some of the members of the board or the whole board, regarding even though we have a handbook, maybe we could discuss what the Secretary of State would like to have as far as duties and responsibilities, and getting feedback from you and getting feedback from us.
Well, certainly all the duties are actually articulated in the statute. This handbook actually does reiterate a lot of the things that already are in statute. So clearly we're not going to want to go beyond
that. Okay.
But one of the things I would note is, did you hand this out?
It should be on top.
Yeah. On the top of your handbook is a piece of paper that says that you've actually received the handbook. We'd like you guys each to fill out that information and give that back to us.
Okay.
If I may, is that the same handbook we've had before?
This is the same handbook we've handed out.
Well, one of the things, though, that the board would like to know is, we'd like to have some input from the Secretary of State's office, the bingo whoever, of things that you think would be useful for us to do, you know, between meetings, or to find out, or the different issues that you would like to have covered as well. Not just us making up everything, but what you guys would like to accomplish.
Certainly, as the statute says, if we have issues, we'll bring them before you.
Yeah.
One of the reasons that we do go through the financials is we show you that that's an issue that, you know, we're looking at.
Yeah.
But also we show you what the problem halls are and some of the issues that we're dealing with. We're happy to keep on doing that, but let's remember, this is a board that you are running,
right,
Bishop, and if you guys have issues, I mean, part of that is you guys bring, one of the reasons the board was set up is so that you guys can bring the issues to us as well.
Okay.
But we're more than willing to meet you halfway. Like,
okay. Halfway, wherever that is, we'll do it. We'll be happy to do that. One other question for the Secretary of State's office is, last year, there was a lot of talk and also some sort of funding about making everything go online as far as reporting, and also games manager, the existing games managers, for retraining, for certification. And we haven't heard anything or don't know anything about that, and so I'm wondering what's going on regarding that.
It's moving forward. Actually, Shannon and Rudy are very involved in the requirements document. In fact, Shannon is actually heading up that effort. All I can really tell you is that it's moving forward. I mean, we have money for it right now, so they're actually in they've actually finished the requirements document, haven't they? So the requirement document is what needs to be done first, so you can see the types of things that the types of screens and things like that that actually need to be posted. And they're starting to build the screens right now, so hopefully we'll have something up and working within the next year.
Which means we're talking about doing the quarterly reports online and/or the training also, certification.
Training is something that is probably going to take a little bit longer than the actual quarterly reports and things of that nature going online, but we are certainly moving towards a more computerized system. Certainly, it makes it a little bit easier for us, and it makes it hopefully a little bit easier for the managers to actually file those reports.
Right. How do they pay when they do that online?
Put out online and print it out, or you will be able to use credit card.
You will be. Or send a check in after.
Yeah, you can fill it out and print it out and send it in with the check.
I don't know about a credit card. I thought we always had to do a check out of the bingo account. We have to do they had to do checks, right?
But moving forward, we're looking at other ways.
Direct deposit or something like that.
But perhaps in the next meeting, since we already have some screens built, we can actually show you some pictures of what those screens are going to look
great.
Like.
Oh, great. Okay. So what I, you know, for our next meeting, which if maybe we could make it the hearing for the rule hearing meeting as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the rule hearing because, like I said, I prefer to have some rules actually written and given some people an
ahead of time, yeah.
Comment, mm-hmm. And then let's try to iron out those rules, and then when we actually have the rule hearing,
they'll have something to look at.
Solicit some more conversation, and then we can go ahead and make those rules, put those rules into effect.
So, can we set up some time frame for that?
Yeah, why don't we discuss that? Because let's look at your schedule, the board's schedule, my schedule, and then let's sit down and we'll work it out.
Okay, because I'm thinking maybe we won't have a board meeting until that time.
Right. That's fine.
So that'd be 2 months, 3 months maybe.
Right. Let's discuss.
Okay, good. So to be clear, you're going to propose some rules, obviously, around the new law. We have to propose those rules first. Yeah. Right. Anything else you feel might be there? But at the hearing, we'll be able to... For example, I'd like to go through and redline the current rules and then bring them with me to that hearing and then discuss them at that time.
Yeah, that's the way.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
What would be helpful for us as we're drafting rules is if you have any ideas about the language that should be in those rules, to send it to us in writing or email or something of that nature. We're going to go through the notes, you know, through the minutes, and try and pick out the rules that were suggested to be made. But if we can get some ideas of, like, new games, pick eight, treasure chest, we have three different opinions what pick eight might be. Right. If you could just give us an outline of what that game looks like. I think you mentioned Bonanza. If that's concealed face,
yes,
you know, if you could give us some clarification on that. And if you've experienced some rules in other states that are beneficial, that work, just give us a suggestion on terminology.
I can make that real simple for you even right now because there's a lot of confusion. Pick eight, that's just a game. All the pick eight, so you pick them game, there's tons of them. It's just basically, if you remember the old NCR paper, carbon paper, it's a two-part game. The players fill in the numbers, whatever numbers they want to themselves. One ticket is collected and put into a box, and then the bingo numbers are called, and they dob those numbers. The first person to fill a pattern wins on that. And again, the only reason that game would be any different is because it doesn't meet the definition of a bingo card.
Right.
Bonanza Bingo is currently concealed face,
right. Yep.
Which is
okay.
In the rules.
Okay.
And I'll give you one suggestion right now, and if you want on that, because we'd like to promote Bonanza again because it is the number one selling, specially progressive game in the country. The two things that were drawbacks to the rules were you had to. Well, we got rid of marking the cards with indelible ink. It says they have to be marked. To me, I think we're covered by the serial number that's currently on the cards. But the showstopper in the Bonanza game is the groups have to keep the Bonanza cards, we changed it from 6 months to 3 months. So in every charity locker, we had these huge garbage bags full of Bonanza tickets, which are, to me, are useless.
Yeah.
I would say maybe you'd have to keep the winning card for 3 months, but not every single card that's played. I mean, just think of how cumbersome that is to the charity. So if it's just like Progressive Bingo, if they had to keep every bingo card that was sold, they would have no room in their bingo halls. And I don't know what the reasoning was to keep the cards for 6 months. It was changed to 3 months. I'd like to see us just...
Is that a rule?
It's a rule.
Okay.
Well, it's any pull tab. Isn't it?
The other question...
No, it was a concealed
pull tab. Yeah, the other question would be... Really a good question, too, and that went right out of my head.
Getting old.
Tell me. On the electronics, is it a rule or is it a statute that you have to push the button?
No automatic play.
Passive play.
Yeah, you can't have passive play.
And yeah. It's a rule?
It's in a rule.
So that's another one that I'd like to discuss, rules-wise. So that somebody goes to the bathroom, they come back, they push one button, and they're all cut up. Instead of having to keep pushing the button.
Along with the same reason that there's not 54 faces instead of 36.
Well,
people
yeah,
thought it was unfair,
but the reasoning
unfair
before
advantage.
Was, you know, it used to be you had to print out a big list of.
What happens if you go to the bathroom
and
you're playing?
And that went away. And so I'm just thinking.
Yeah,
maybe,
we've made progress in that area.
Yeah.
But one of the big problems with Bonanza wasn't so much keeping the daily records around for 6 months or 3 months. It was when it first came out, it was suggested that the right way to play it is to pre-call the numbers before the occasion. And we had just massive complaints from players about that.
Well,
I felt it was going to be unfair.
Well, that's covered in the rules now, when you pre-call the numbers.
Right, you can't do it. Yeah, it has to be called within the occasion.
Right. So many balls.
As long as the occasion has started.
Right.
This couldn't be done before the occasion.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's covered in the rules today. And we're fine. We're fine with it. Just those 2 points on marking the cards, make sure we're crystal clear on that. And it wasn't keeping the records for 6 months. It was keeping the physical cards.
That's because they were considered a daily record. Yeah.
The physical, which I couldn't delineate between but a concealed face card versus a regular bingo card. To me, they're one and the same.
Yeah.
It's just a different process in how they're manufactured.
Okay. So I think maybe we should adjourn unless anybody has anything else.
Quick question.
Somebody has something else.
New member status. The board, new board member status. Anybody got an update on
it? We've talked to the... What is his name over there? That works for...
Tom's been trying to get on the board for a year.
Correct. They're ready to do it now.
Great.
Except they lost the paperwork. And so we've asked Corky to take the paperwork to them again. We're getting all the faxes from the new members in again, and they're ready to do it.
Isn't there some question about Julia or Julia's wife?
Yes, there is. She's resigning, and we've turned in a name to replace her for a charity. Okay. And also the public one, they lost his application, and so he's faxing that today so that that can get in as well. And the other one was John Holmes,
Austin Gomes?
What do you call it? You know, the UFW or the American Legion type
guys.
John Gomes is John.
I know the guy.
You know John. He's here all the time. And
he's with the Elks Club.
And also the UFW or VFW. UFW. Yeah. So the veterans.
John Adams.
Huh? Yeah. The veterans organization. Those are the three. And Dan, when I talked to him after our meeting last time, he said he still wanted to come, but he didn't want to come very bad this time. I guess I don't know. So we'll keep after him about what he wants to do.
Okay.
Did I get everybody's sheet? Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
You're going to schedule the next meeting date?
We're going to have to discuss with the Secretary of State's office on to make that a real hearing. And Rudy will be sending out an email to all the board members, and we'll be sending out letters and emails to all the charities. I'm surprised I did that this last time, and not too many came.
Motion to adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Too bad.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, you guys.
I was going to mention this, too. I didn't get a chance to get on. Did you guys do event games in your halls?
What do you mean by event games?
Okay.
Legal? Totally legal.
This is a lot of draft. Because all people you need to do is